Trevor Hall here with Mining Stock Daily, and we are back from the Mines and Money Show here in London. Sitting across the table from Dustin Perry, who is the CEO of Kingfisher Metals. They trade on the TSX venture with KFR and on the OTCQB with KGFMF. Dustin, it's been an eventful couple weeks for you. You got your first drill results out from the Gold Range project. Technically, great success with the first jab with the drill rigs. Unfortunately, the market didn't really reward you for it. So, and we've already had that discussion. We talked, I think, that day the news release was out. I guess the follow-up question, now that we've seen this kind of settle, the waters have settled in the last couple of weeks, I guess I want to ask you, as a young CEO of an exploration company, what did you learn through all this process, and what was your key takeaways?
Well, what I learned from talking with a lot of more experienced people is get used to it. I had a lot of people congratulate me. A lot of shareholders were really pleased. A lot of shareholders actually reached out before market opened that day back then and said, go out and have a beer. And then we followed up, and they were really pleased with the results. But they said, yeah, get used to it. Get used to liquidity events. Get used to reactions that aren't going to be what you hope for, or basically just get used to negative reactions to good news. So I've adjusted to it. I've adjusted to the jet lag, so I'm a more capable human being to cope with that. There's been a lot of interest in the last couple of weeks, people seeing it as an opportunity to get in now. I think the only way forward is just moving forward.
Yeah. Well, and so what is moving forward? Obviously, more drill results down the pipeline. So let's get back into the project here. What are you waiting for here? How many drill results are we looking to see from?
So we're still waiting for 10 of 14 holes. A lot of regional work, too. The labs are backed up. We haven't heard anything about our other samples yet. So we're waiting on that. We are on the edge of our seat. We've got some other nice structures that we hit that we're hopeful for. But with that, we're not sitting back and doing nothing. We're actually planning our program for next year already. So we're securing pad builders, drillers, helicopter, everything like that. We're moving forward. We've been busy. It's been actually quite challenging keeping track of my team while on the different time zone, and also trying to get a little bit of sleep and relaxation, and then taking meetings. And I had a good session in Munich with Francis McDonald, one of our tech advisors and a good friend of mine, over the past weekend, bouncing around a bunch of ideas, going over new things. So we're busy as usual, just waiting for results like everybody else, and looking forward to drilling more.
Give us a kind of a glimpse into next year, what we're looking at as far as another drill campaign. How much capital are you looking to deploy, and where does that leave the kitty?
So I would like to drill around 10,000 meters there next year.
Just on Gold Range?
Yeah, just on Gold Range. I'll just talk about Gold Range right now. So one of the things we did this year was we didn't drill the low-hanging fruit at Gold Range. We drilled within the soil anomaly, and we only drilled about 10% or covered around 10% of this large anomaly. But we really wanted to prove our concept. We wanted to provide proof of concept to show that we had a large hydrothermal system. And we did. Technically, it was a big success. But we didn't drill a lot of our low-hanging fruit. And part of that was, we were taking a riskier endeavor going for drilling blind areas. And I wanted to keep something in our back pocket for next year in case we missed, which we didn't. But I also didn't want to only focus on low-hanging fruit without understanding the system in case we missed on that. That would look even worse in my mind. But with that in mind, now that we have some nice structures that we've hit within the Cloud Drifter zone, we can go back and step out fairly conservatively around them. But prior to doing that, in May, we're going to start with an RC drill rig and start testing a lot of this low-hanging fruit. There's about 5 other zones we're going to hit nearby, but also peripheral to the Cloud Drifter trend that have, they're pretty much all defined by rock samples over an ounce per ton. Several adits, one location where we drilled 10.84 grams per ton over 6.9 meters of the backpack drill rig back when we were private. That hasn't been drilled with a diamond rig. So we're going to hit a lot of these with the RC rig early in the season and hopefully have those results back because they'll get in before the rush of samples. And hopefully we can, you know, start the diamond program following up on this year's results and then move it to all those low-hanging fruit locations around the general area of the Cloud Drifter trend after that.
Can you walk me through kind of the reasoning behind, you mentioned this low-hanging fruit that has yet to be diamond drill tested yet. Why not do that right off the bat?
So our rationale was we didn't understand the geology that well here. A lot of these areas I'm referring to, you know, there's an outcrop and then everything disappears under talus cover or till cover. There's not a lot of geological information, and we didn't do a ton of geological work there prior to going public. We did a lot more this year and some geophysics at some of them, but we didn't have a huge degree of confidence. They looked really interesting. And when I mean low-hanging fruit, I mean you could just drill the outcrop. But I didn't want to kill it. And it's pretty easy to kill a target if you drill something that's sticking out of the ground first pass and you miss. And, you know, we're a geologist-run company, so we do things in a pretty conservative manner, following all the correct geological steps. So we needed a bit more information on those to de-risk, well, not even de-risk, just understand them better. So with that in mind, we didn't drill those this year. We drilled the concept, which was, we had a lot of confidence in that concept because of all the mapping we did and the IP we did earlier in the season. And we've been able to get those other targets up to that kind of confidence level. And I think they're going to pan out pretty well. There's a lot of shots, which is good. So it's, you know, everybody says target-rich environment. And Gold Range is a target-rich environment. And this is just still a small portion of the project. We identified a lot of nice-looking zones at the north end of the project this year. But those two, they're not ready to drill next year. They'll need more work next year as well. So everything's staged in exploration. Mm-hmm. And we're at the point going into next year, we have a lot more targets ready to be drilled than we did this year. Plus, we have what we drilled this year to expand upon. So I think the odds of having more consistent high-grade intercepts will be higher next year, and we'll do an expanded program so we can test more of them.
Where's the bank account looking like now, and how much capital will you be deploying next year?
So it was at $5.3 million at the end of October, so it's a month later. It won't be that much change from that. Of that, around $500,000 is flow-through, so that needs to be spent next year. The rest are hard dollars. You know, we're not going to do a raise right now, given market sentiment, share price, the fact that we have more results to come out. We probably will do a raise of some form next year, but I'm not going to commit on anything yet. We can drill with what we have if we need to. You know, we're pretty lean. Like I was saying to somebody earlier, our company trailer is parked in my driveway. We don't have an office. Since starting as a private company, 79% of our money spent has gone into the ground. So we're going to continue on that theme, and we'll see what the market's like, and that will dictate how big we go next year.
A lot of eyes are obviously on Gold Range right now, but where's the other two projects sit for next year?
So Extol, we expect, I've actually just had meetings with the mines inspector. We expect to get a permit any day now for Extol. We did do gravity surveys at our two top targets there this year. One of those had historic drilling, narrow intercepts, but high grade, up to 5.5% copper. That was drilled in 95. And the other one was a discovery we made, over 3% copper in outcrop, over 2 grams gold. Both of those sit on top of the best conductors in the belt, which has 40 conductors identified from a property-wide VTEM survey we did in 2019. And the real final layer you use for VMS exploration, so you do your mag and your EM, which we did. You know, you map if you can. Rock sampling. We did some backpack drilling last year and channel sampling. A few other things you do. And then gravity survey is the other geophysical layer you want to do. If you get a, basically VMS deposits are really dense because they're massive sulfide. And you should get a dense body from a gravity survey. Gravity just tells you the density contrast of metals. So if you've got a conductor, meaning it's metal, and it's dense, it's a drill target. And we haven't released our findings from this year yet. Still getting it processed, but we're encouraged from what we've seen so far. And we're ready to move that towards drilling. Are we going to drill it? Probably not, given our capacity. So I will be looking at getting somebody in on that, or you know, entertaining a SpinCo, or bringing in a partner on that project. And we did have interest on that from a large major that's been looking for VMS deposits as a private company. You know, my focus has been on Gold Range and other corporate, you know, getting the company off the ground. But over the winter, I'll have a bit of time as assays are coming in, and I can start changing focus a little bit. And then Tibbert, our third project, really early stage. It covers a historic and currently producing placer district that's produced 200,000 ounces of gold. It's on a major crustal feature, so it's a terrain-bounding fault that stretches all the way to the Dawson Gold Belt in the Yukon. The geology makes sense there. A lot of goodies if you go through the old annual mine reports from the 20s and 30s of, you know, prospectors camping out there. One guy found a boulder that had a 100-pound boulder that produced 60 ounces of gold. He found that on site. I forget what that equates to, but it's something like, well, it's like tens of thousands of grams per ton gold. And it was listed as, quote, spectacular gold mineralization. All the placer gold there they find is really coarse gold hosted in quartz. So, you know, the clues are there. We went and did airborne magnetics this year as a kind of a framework study so we can narrow in within this 25-kilometer long project. And then we did, I think, around 130 stream sediment samples to further kind of update that regional resource or regional database. So next year we'll continue to progress it. We're not going to drill it next year. Still need to do more work, probably more ground geophysics, figure out what kind of ground geochem we'll do. But it's an exciting target. It makes sense. You know, the whole company, we're a technical company, and we believe in looking in areas that haven't been hammered with drill holes, more conceptual areas, and this fits with that concept. And it's a good project. It's just earlier stage.
Let's wrap it there, because I know I'm going to be back in your stomping ground in January for Roundup. But, you know, perhaps you and I will chat before then, but, you know, give us a sense of kind of, what's the energy like out of Vancouver and, you know, the capital of junior exploration after this kind of, I guess you could call it a tumultuous year all around after the great 2020?
You know, I haven't been in Vancouver since our stock has taken a big hit, and I was probably one of the more chipper people in Vancouver for the last year. It hasn't been horrible, though. You know, people have cash, and it's been a busy year, but people aren't getting rewarded for good results. So it's been, I feel like everybody's kind of on the edge of their seats just waiting for a breakout. It's going to happen sooner or later. To be in this industry, you have to be optimistic. And you really should as an investor as well. So I would say it's not horrible, but it's been better.
Sure.
One note, when you are in Vancouver, so at the AMEBC Roundup, we will be in the core shack presenting drill core. We've got some incredibly sexy polished core from Gold Range. And I'm hoping we have assays out. Otherwise, I might have to put out core photos in a news release, which I don't like doing, because we've got multiple intercepts polished. So people should come by and look at our rocks, and they'll see how nice it looks and see the upside in this project.
We'll see you in Vancouver, Dustin.
Sounds good.
It's Dustin Perry from Kingfisher Metals, again trading on the TSX Venture with KFR and on the OTCQB with KGFMF. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.